Good morning.
Good morning.
As we prepare for our service today, let's make sure we silence our phones and get ready for our morning of worship. Oh Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Thank you, Kathy. In the pews where you're sitting, there are sign-up sheets. If you would pass those, sign them and pass them down. Take a look and see who your neighbor is and make sure that you have a chance to search other people out this morning. There are some announcements printed in the bulletin. One I would like to highlight, there will be a sign-up downstairs today and next Sunday for the Immigrant Coalition Alliance, I guess as we call it, for tamales. We had done this 6 months ago, a year ago, and based upon their ability to produce, the numbers were somewhat limited. So if you want those, be sure you get down there and do that. Following the service today, there will be a short lesson by Debbie, who will assist us in how to tie knots on the blanket. They had started a blanket for Ann. It had not gotten finished. Their intent is to finish that blanket and give it to Kathy and her family. So if you'd like to do that, participate in that, please find Debbie downstairs after church service today. Charles, you have an announcement.
Good morning. You will notice on the calendar of events in your bulletin that at 3 o'clock today we're going to be starting Financial Peace. This is a class to help those who have money issues so that you manage your money as opposed to having your money manage you. If you have not signed up for the class, you can still do so. You can come to class today and we can get you, or you, when you sign up, materials would be sent to you and they would get to you by next Sunday. It is a 9-week course. Personally, Cindy and I have gone through this 7 years ago. Not only did it help us to create a budget that became manageable for our money, it helped our relationship too, because talking about money was one of the things that was tough for us. I tend to be a spender, Cindy tends to be a saver. And so when we would talk about money, it would raise a lot of anxiety. And going through this course, as I said, not only helped us with our financial stability, but it helped our relationship too. If any of you are interested in finding ways to have your money be worked by you, as opposed to feeling like every month there's more month than there is money, we would love for you to join us. It's going to be from 3 to 5. Is it in the boardroom? Okay. And it's a 9-week course. We will be taking a break on Easter, but we would love to see anybody who's interested to show up today at 3. Thanks.
Thank you, Charles. Any other announcements? Let's take a second and greet those around us, and we'll get ready then for our opening hymn, number 182, Transform Us. Please join me in the call to worship. On the mountain heights, Jesus was transfigured.
In the highest ecstasy of faith, we are transformed.
Changed by God, altered by glory, our lives are forever marked.
We come down from the mountain heights and find Christ still with us.
Lord, help me now to unclutter my life, to organize myself in the direction of simplicity. Teach me to listen to my heart. Teach me to welcome change instead of fearing it. I give you my discontent. I give you my restlessness. I give you my doubt. I give you my despair. I give you all the longings I hold inside of me. Help me to listen to you. May I get comfort and may we get comfort from the prayer you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to
be seated. And I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. As part of our children's time, we're going to have the congregation in just a moment sing Jesus Loves Me. So I invite you to look in your hymnals to 113. I'm going to have you all stand up today on the top step. We're going to be active this morning. I like that necktie. You look sharp today. We are going to do sign language for the refrain to the song, Jesus Loves Me. Have you all sung Jesus Loves Me before? It might be familiar. Yeah, the congregation's going to sing it, and we're going to do the motions for the refrain. So the refrain is pretty simple. It says, yes, Jesus loves me. We do that three times, I think. Three times. So yes, in sign language, you make a fist with your hand, and nod it up and down. It's kind of like a little head going, yes. And the sign for Jesus is you put one finger in the middle of the palm of your hand, and then you touch the opposite palm. So this is how we say Jesus in sign language. This is Jesus' name. And it reminds us of where the nails went when he was on the cross. So we're going to say, yes, Jesus loves. Cross your hands over your chest like you're hugging yourself. Me, you point to yourself. So we do that three times. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible in sign language is the Jesus book. So you touch each palm of your hand and then you put your hands together like you're holding a book in front of you and you fold them open like you're going to read. So the Bible or the Jesus book tells, point to your mouth, and move your hand forward, tells me, point to yourself again. So, in sign language, you make the letter S, which is just a fist, put it next to your palm, and just kind of turn it down. So the last line is, the Bible, or the Jesus book, tells me so. We're going to have Miss Kathy play it. The congregation is going to sing all three verses, and we're going to sign the refrain. So take it away.
Jesus,
How about a round of applause for our signers? And in sign language, you can clap like this. Let's have a prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for being our friend, for walking with us all the way through life. Lord Jesus, we know you love us when we are on earth and when we are with you in heaven. Bless us all. In Christ's name, all God's children said, amen. You can head to Worship and Wonder or Sunday School. As our children are headed out this morning, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you and take out a prayer card. You'll find a postcard that has a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them. Our card shower today is for Wanda Hall. She'll be receiving communion this afternoon from two of our elders. Wanda is still recovering from a broken arm from having fallen out of bed at Mountain Plaza. Prayers of sympathy for Teresa Dugan, whose aunt in Nebraska passed away. Her funeral will be this coming Friday. I believe that almost everyone in the congregation has received word, but if you have not already heard, you need to know that Ann Clocksiem went to heaven yesterday afternoon about 4:30. She battled cancer for the last year or more. She did very well with the treatments. They extended her life. She began to have an issue with blood clots a few weeks ago, was hospitalized for that, and then she was home. 2 weeks ago on Monday night, we had a stewardship commission meeting, and Ann was here. She was tired that night, but she was here. She wanted to come. She wanted to hear what was happening in the life of the congregation. In fact, she offered the closing prayer at the meeting that night. That evening, about 9 o'clock, she suffered a massive stroke, and Ann's health declined significantly over the last 2 weeks since that time. She was in hospice care. Her family especially appreciates the friendship of so many here who visited her and sent cards and sent words of greeting and other signs of support and love. We do not yet know when Ann's service will be, though we anticipate it sometime in the middle of this week here at First Christian Church. Please pray for her daughter, Kathy, for all of her grandchildren, for all of her family and friends. It seems appropriate this morning, as we're thinking about Anne, to remember that she was one of the three musketeers. There were three gals in CWF, Shirley Downs and Jerry Triplett and Anne, who spent a lot of time palling around together at Regional Women's Retreat for many years. And Billy is in worship this morning, remembering Jerry. And Shirley Downs' family is with us today as well. Her son David and Robbie and Courtney, grandkids, are here. We are so blessed to have you with us in worship and glad you could visit today. We continue to pray for others in our midst and in our community who are in treatment for cancer. We pray for God's healing and a gift of a cure. We need to pray for the Rouse family this morning. Madison went to the emergency room last night with significant stomach pain. The doctors did multiple tests, and all the tests came back negative, which is good news, but that means they don't know what's causing her stomach pain, so she'll have another follow-up. A few weeks ago, we heard the word that she has ulcers in her esophagus, and Madison just continues to not feel well and is struggling with health and with stress because of that. So please pray for all of the Rouses. The missionary we're lifting up today is Lauren Kabat, who serves in Chile. We want to pray for the people of Syria, where violence has resurged again. And our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary to send greetings, are the members of Bethany Christian Church in Farmington, New Mexico. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share with one another this morning? Tom.
Go see my two grandkids.
So prayers for safe travels for Tom. He has multiple bowling tournaments coming up, and he'll be going to California to visit family. We ask the Lord to watch over you while you travel and bring you home safely. Joan. Amen. Prayers of thanksgiving for God's healing and steady hand. We are so thankful to have the McNamaras back in worship today. Joan is not contagious. She's wearing the mask so that she doesn't catch whatever you have. She's still struggling with health in her lungs and doesn't need a single cold or germ. So we are just honored to have you back in worship and continue to pray for healing and strength. Jane. Prayers for the family and friends of Dottie Lane, who passed away this week, a neighbor of Jean's. Linda. Prayers for Rick Lowndes, who has multiple health concerns and is now hospitalized with the flu. Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O good and gracious God, you are at once mighty and gentle. You are revealed in light and darkness. We know you at the highest peaks of our life's journey and in the depths of the valleys of despair. Lord, we pray for all those we have named and others who are experiencing the highs and lows of life, O God, we ask your presence with those who need you most. We pray for healing for Wanda Hall. We pray for comfort for all who mourn. We name before you Teresa as she grieves her aunt, the family and friends of Jane's neighbor, Dottie, and all of those who will be missing Anne. Lord, in this sanctuary, we already miss the physical presence of our sister in Christ, Anne Clocksee. But though her pew sits empty, she is with us in spirit. We know for years to come, we will continue to hear in our hearts her wisdom and wit, her graciousness, her generosity. We thank you, God, for all the friends that she had in this place and the blessing she was to us. We pray comfort for her daughter, Kathy, and all of the family. Lord, we ask for your healing hand to be upon Madison, that the doctors might find answers for the reasons she is struggling. We pray for healing for Madison in body, mind, and spirit, that you, O Lord, will watch over her, place your hand upon her, ease her discomfort, and make her strong and well again. We rejoice, O God, that Joan McNamara is well enough to be with us this day in worship, and we continue to pray for healing and strength. Lord, we pray for healing for the world in which we live. for communities and countries torn apart by violence. We pray for children in Syria. We pray that your presence, O God, is with Lauren Kabat and the missionary work being done in Chile. And we pray your blessing upon the members of Bethany Christian Church in Farmington. Oh God, we ask you to watch over Tom May as he travels to tournaments and to be with family. And we pray for a safe journey for all who travel, for those who travel physically here and away, returning home, and for those who are on spiritual journeys. Oh God, we pray for your presence and your guidance along the way. O Lord Christ, bless each one of us to know you, to love you, to serve you. Amen.
Have you ever noticed how family gathers for a meal? We kind of gather that way here. It takes us a while to get around. Dinner's called, and a few minutes later, everybody shows up. But everybody, like our family, is included in communion. Everybody. Have you ever thought about a contract with God, or covenant with God? For when you look at a contract, it's a two-party deal. And if one party doesn't hold it up, the other party is not obligated to complete their part. Where with a covenant, each party makes an agreement, but that party is obligated to fulfill that covenant, whether the other party meets their side or not. We should be very fortunate to understand that God made a covenant with us through the sharing of communion, not a contract. Let us prepare for communion.
Here at the table, Jesus remembers us, and we remember our Lord. We remember the night when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it. and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember the Lord, and we are remembered by him. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray."
Everlasting God, we give thanks for daily bread so needed by our physical being. Thank you for making provision to nourish our spiritual being. We give thanks for this cup, remembering Jesus and his willingness to give his life for us. With the promise of eternal life, we ask your Spirit to guide us and direct us. Fill us with your Spirit so that our judgments may be wise and our service be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Our moment for mission today, it centers on the week of compassion. When disaster strikes, a wildfire, hurricane, earthquake, any storms, week of compassion is on the ground responding through local disciple congregations and ecumenical partners to provide a compassionate presence to those in need. Long after the immediate crisis has passed from the news headlines, disciples continue to provide assistance for long-term recovery through the week of compassion. You could say we're on the ground and we stick around. Week of Compassion is a relief, refugee, and developmental mission fund of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, in the United States and Canada. We rely on your compassion, your gifts, and your commitment to help change lives for the better. We do so in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Week of Compassion works through a remarkable network of church partner organizations and partnerships that ensures that our response to humanitarian needs in the world is efficient, effective, and faithful. Through these partnerships, disciples are able to join a tapestry of caring that brings help and hope to hurting people in every corner of the world. Your generous gifts today through the Week of Compassion will help with ongoing needs in Puerto Rico, as well as many other places throughout the world. You're welcome to mark your offering envelope or a check for Week of Compassion, or to take some offering boxes home and fill them up with change and bring them back. But we appreciate your support for Week of Compassion. We also, as we prepare to give our offering, you should be aware that this congregation, over the course of the last 12 months, has participated in 8 additional offering opportunities. So please be aware that this congregation is very open and willing and sharing and giving. And in that light, would ask the diaconate to wait upon us.
Before we share in the doxology, we have a video from the Week of Compassion showing a visit that the executive director, V. Nguyen, made to Puerto Rico.
Thank you.
across the island.
It is easy to see a lot of buildings that have been damaged from the hurricane. But what I have also seen in just listening to many of the people in this story is that there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of dreaming of rebuilding, of what possibilities that can be out there. And so there's a lot of hope in this area beyond just the destruction that we see with our eyes. We hear children in worship singing, praising, and we hear people sharing of their lives and what they would do next in dreaming of the possibilities of a new home or of a new community. So it's been very positive in that sense.
Father God, you call us to walk alongside the poor, all the while reminding us of our own poverty and spirit. Grant us courage to cry out against the injustice. Grant our burdened hearts that ache to see the enemies of hunger, violence, and economic injustice be scattered to the winds. Amen.
as Peg comes forward to lead our scripture reading, I would invite you to turn to page 732 in your hymnal. We will read responsively portions of Psalm 22. We will read verses 1 through 5 and then 25 to 31. And Kathy will play the refrain once so that we can hear it. And then we'll sing the refrain together, and then Peg will lead our reading.
Well, I was going to say all that, but then let the preacher do it.
If you sit in the front pew, I'll let you say it next time.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning?
Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest.
Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you, our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will pay before those who fear God.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied.
Those who seek the Lord shall sing praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord,
who rules over the nations.
To God, indeed, shall all who sleeps in the earth bow down.
Before God shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for the Lord.
Posterity will serve the Lord. Future generations will be told about the Lord.
Our second reading of Scripture today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. If you want to follow along in your Pew Bible, New Testament, it begins on page 44. We will hear Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, He ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that Lenten anthem, for Anne for accompanying them. Thank you also to Kathy for playing so faithfully for us. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, through all the highs and lows of life, you are with us. Be with us now as we ponder your gospel. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. If you were in worship two Sundays ago, we heard from Mark chapter 8, the story where Jesus is traveling with the apostles and he asks them, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter boldly answers, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." But then as the conversation continues and Jesus begins to explain that the Son of Man must suffer and die, Peter doesn't get it. There are highs and lows throughout the journey that the disciples shared with Jesus. Perhaps, though, none are more striking than the story we hear this morning in Mark chapter 9, the story of the transfiguration of Christ, when his physical form was changed in the sight of three of his apostles. It is a mystery from God that goes beyond our fully grasping. We're told that about a week later, about 6 days later, after Peter made his confession, "Jesus, you are the Christ," Jesus took with him Peter and James and John. You'll remember those three were among the first four apostles that were called, Simon and Peter, James and John, two sets of brothers who had made their living fishing, were now traveling with this rabbi, Jesus. Jesus asks these three friends to go up a high mountain apart by themselves, just this close group together. Tradition believes that the mountain they ascended was Mount Tabor, although some biblical scholars also note it could have been Mount Hermon, which is further north on the border between Syria and Lebanon, north of modern-day Israel. But most believe that this transfiguration took place on Mount Tabor. If you travel in the Holy Land today, you can visit Mount Tabor, usually approaching it with a long bus ride and a tour group, and then making your way up to the peak of this rounded mount. At the very top, there is the Church of the Transfiguration, a place of worship and hospitality hosted by the Franciscans of the Catholic Church. As you approach the Church of the Transfiguration, you notice at first that there are two tall towers out front. Each of those towers includes a small chapel, one for Moses and one for Elijah. And then as you enter the center of the church, there is an open courtyard where straight above there is nothing but blue sky and the heavens. It's a striking vista, perhaps that entry even more striking than the church inside. It seems ironic to me that today there is this monument on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Because when we read the story, it's clear that Jesus wasn't asking for a church to be built. Jesus wasn't asking Peter to build monuments there, and yet that was his first response. The transfiguration was such a striking event that Peter wanted to mark the occasion so all would know. "Lord," he said, "it's a good thing we're here with you. Let us build three tabernacles, three dwellings, three tents, three monuments, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Three structures to mark this significant event." But Jesus wasn't asking for a building. Jesus was sharing an experience with his friends. He was transfigured before them. It's hard for us to grasp what that even means, what it looked like when it happened. In Greek, the word that is often translated transfigured has the same root as the word metamorphosis. If you think of a caterpillar in a cocoon transforming into a butterfly, it is the same creature, but there is something so radically different that if you didn't watch the process, you wouldn't even know it was the same being. Transfigured. Jesus was transformed. His figure, his form, his physical presence was changed visibly in front of Peter and James and John. It was as if he suddenly became all light. There was something so striking about him. They knew it was still Christ, but they had never seen him look like that before. Later, Mark would try to describe the story he had heard. And he says, his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. If you think of a white robe, and you picture it as white can possibly be, perfectly clean without a single blemish, perhaps a white robe on someone standing outside on a sunny day, reflecting the light so bright that you want to wear shades. You squint your eyes a little bit. Now multiply the brightness of that cloth to a scale you've never encountered before. And maybe that helps us glimpse the transfiguration of Jesus. God's light was so full within him that it burst forth. There appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. The apostles didn't even know what to say, and Peter wanted to do something, being a man of action, and so he suggested building these three tents. And then a cloud overshadowed them. If you remember way back in the Old Testament, the presence of God was signified by a cloud that led the Israelites. When they escaped from Egypt and traveled in the wilderness for 40 years, there was a cloud that led them, a fiery pillar at night and a cloud by day. In the Old Testament Hebrew, it's called Shekinah, the shining presence of God, the light of the holy that goes beyond knowing or naming. That cloud returns again. And from the cloud, from the very presence of God, a voice speaks, "This is my son, the beloved." We hear the echo of the words that God spoke at Jesus' baptism just a few chapters before in Mark. This event, this experience, is an identification of Christ as God's son. Peter, in the last chapter, confessed his faith in Jesus. And now that same faith is glaring him in the face so brightly he doesn't know what to do about it. But it's apparent that this experience is so significant. The apostles want to stay on the mountain. They want to remain there as long as they possibly can. And yet Mark's gospel moves quickly on to say as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus invites us to the heights of knowing the glory of God, and then he travels with us to the depths, to the places where the hungry long for food and the downtrodden cry out for justice. How much easier it seems our faith would be if all it was about was seeking out beautiful churches on mountain peaks. And yet that is not where God would have us dwell. Jesus led his friends back into the city to continue his ministry of healing and preaching and teaching, to return to the rhythm of daily life. In your own faith journey, I wonder if there have been mountaintop experiences, Those times when you felt you glimpsed the glory of God. Perhaps it happened on a Sunday morning. Maybe one of those days when worship just flowed and everything felt perfect. The songs were all right and the prayers touched you. Or maybe it was a Sunday when the preacher confused folks about when a video should play and the pianist turned to the wrong page and everyone chuckled. And in the midst of that, you felt God loving you. Perhaps it happened on a Christmas Eve. And that whispered hush that comes right after every candle is lit and the last verse of Silent Night is sung, and your spirit stirs and you know God is here. Perhaps your spiritual mountaintop came when you met a person and that relationship changed your life. Perhaps it happened at a youth camp or a retreat, a time when you were drawn apart, just as those three apostles were drawn apart to go up the mountain. A time when you were so close to God, it felt almost as if you could see the Holy face to face and how you wanted to stay in that moment, and yet life continues on. Those moments of glimpsing the glory of God are what get us through the valley times. Those moments of perfect friendship shared with a fellow Christian serving side by side are what give us courage and hope when that friend is called home to heaven, to their eternal rest, and we miss them so. The glory of God goes beyond our fully knowing and our fully naming, and yet we do get to glimpse it from time to time. When you hold a newborn baby and look at those tiny hands and tiny toes, and your heart marvels because this surely is a sign of the glory of God. Or you're spending time in nature, whether it's the garden of your own backyard or high on a mountain peak, and something happens that takes your breath away. The glory of God surrounds you and touches you. It gives you courage to remember in the midst of your busiest, most stressful, overworked, crazy, crowded, chaotic day that God is with you there. The same living God whose presence you hear in a flowing mountain stream whispers to you the promise of the waters of life when you need it most. The glory of God takes us to those mountaintops and then changes us just enough that we can survive the valley depths. When in your own faith journey has there been a mountaintop, a peak, a moment of an experience that drew you closer to the holy? When in your life is there a dark valley where you long for the shining presence of God? This morning, as a congregation, many of us know both the glory and the depths of despair when we think of our friend and sister in Christ, Anne. We are so thankful for her life and her faithful service, and yet it seems she was taken from us so soon. So our hearts break a little, and yet we still fill with wonder, for we know she is at peace. She gets to see Jesus face to face. And the certainty of that glory gives us courage to go on living, to go on serving. The most striking part of the story of the Transfiguration isn't the mystery of trying to understand what happened to Jesus when his physical form was so transformed. The greatest mystery of all is that the apostles were called to go back down the mountain, back into the real world, back into lives of service. In fact, they were called to go from glory to glory, from the presence of God's glory shining brightly to God's glory that dwells within each and every one of us. Every day, we move among living vessels of God's glory. every person we meet, faithful believer or not, Christian, Muslim, Jew, skeptic, every person we meet is made in the image of God. And when we look into that person's eyes, we are invited to glimpse the presence of the Holy One. In our walk with Christ, we are called to share God's love through Jesus with others whom we meet. But every day when we walk in the world, we're walking in the midst of God's glory already there. The goodness and love, the kindness of the human spirit that we see even in total strangers is a glimpse of God's glory. The apostles were called to go from the glory of the mountaintop to a different kind of glory in the valley. In a sense, we live the opposite of that journey. We live in the valley where God's glory is shrouded, it's hidden in the humble human form of our own lives and of the people around us that we meet. That's the glory where we live every day. And if we open our eyes to know God there, if we give our heart to Jesus there, we are then invited to go from that glory to the glory of heaven, where we see the eternal one face to face. Our closing hymn today includes the simple refrain, changed from glory into glory. I invite you to reflect this week in your own life of times and places where you have encountered God's glory. Perhaps on a mountaintop as shiny and brilliant as the transfiguration described in Mark. Or perhaps the glory of God you know best is in the dark hidden corners of the world. And even there, Christ is with us. Throughout this coming week, may each one of us reflect on and pray about opportunities when God uses us to be changed from glory into glory. May it be so. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 517. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. If there's anyone here this morning who's never given your heart completely to Jesus and you long to do so, you're invited to come forward. If there's someone who needs to rededicate your life to God, or you're looking for a church home and you'd like to join us here at First Christian, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. This morning, I'd encourage everyone to come downstairs to Fellowship Hall for a time of sharing and fellowship. While you're there, if you want to order tamales, you're welcome to do so. There's a sign-up sheet. And if normally you don't stick around for a coffee hour and fellowship, you might want to today because there's pie this morning. I know Dennis will be down there, so look for him. Everyone is welcome to stay and fellowship with one another. Enjoy the gift of Christian community. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O good and gracious God, your glory we glimpse throughout life. Until that day when it is fully revealed to us, keep us faithful to you. Journey with us, Jesus, from mountain tops and valleys low, that we might always know you and share your love. In grace and glory, amen.